MedStar Washington Hospital Center presents Medical Intel, the inside story of advances in healthcare that can make a difference for you and your family. Here's Melanie Cole.
More than 12.5 million Americans are severely overweight, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Obesity comes with health risks: diabetes, high blood pressure, joint pain, sleep apnea, and so much more. Many people who are seriously overweight have tried different diets and medications and professional weight loss services for years without long-term success. My guest today is Dr. Timothy Shope. He's the director of bariatric surgery at MedStar Washington Hospital Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Shope. Who should consider bariatric surgery? Are there certain parameters to considering bariatrics, and who can qualify?
There are parameters, Melanie, and thanks for having me along. Patients that would be a good candidate for surgical weight loss or bariatric surgery would include anyone who has a body mass index or BMI greater than 40 or more than 35 with certain medical conditions, such as you already mentioned, diabetes and sleep apnea. There are some carve-outs which would include patients that have an excess weight of approximately 100 pounds over their ideal body weight as well.
So then if people have that and they've determined by BMI that they are a candidate, what is the first step? What do they do, and how long does it take between deciding that this is something you'd like to pursue and actually having the surgery?
Well, no patient comes through our doors until they're definitely ready to proceed. Oftentimes, patients will tell us that they've been thinking about this for 5-7 years. Once they've made that decision, and they have their initial consultation with the surgeon to determine candidacy, they're then put into a pretty well-defined program, which includes not only psychological evaluation and potentially counseling, but also one of the most important components, which is nutritional counseling, which involves our registered dietitian. Those patients will have monthly visits with a dietitian. Mostly that's based on insurance needs, and it's either 3 or usually 6 months of preoperative counseling with the dietitian. Once they've completed that program, if they've met the other program requirements, and that will vary minimally from program to program, they are then they would then come back to see the surgeon, and if everything is in line, we would proceed with surgery.
So based on insurance requirements, is there certain things like psychological counseling, and you mentioned the nutrition counseling, what else does insurance sometimes require that they do?
Some insurance companies will require visits with, for example, a cardiologist or perhaps a pulmonologist. That's pretty rare. More and more insurance companies are requiring an evaluation by an exercise physiologist or some meaningful time spent for the physical side of things. But the insurance company's main requirements are the dietitian visits and that psychological or psychiatric evaluation.
So then tell us about the types, Dr. Shope, of bariatric surgery that you're doing there at MedStar Washington Hospital Center.
Sure. We perform the gastric bypass surgery, which is still considered to be the gold standard in the United States. We perform the sleeve gastrectomy. All of those procedures, for the most part, are done laparoscopically these days. On occasion, we do some open procedures when it's appropriate, and we also have the opportunity to use our robotic equipment as well.
So let's start with bypass. What's involved in your, and explain whether this is a malabsorption type of procedure. What is it like for the patient?
So the gastric bypass is actually a combination procedure where we provide pretty substantial restriction, which basically limits the amount of calories that a patient can take in at any one time, as well as the malabsorption that you mentioned. That malabsorption makes it so that of the amount of calories that a patient takes in, only a certain percentage of them would then be actually absorbed appropriately and available for literal consumption by the patient. As far as what it's like to live with the operation, patients will have pretty substantially reduced plate sizes. Their portion sizes will be much smaller. They'll be eating less at any one time. It's important that we make it possible for them to get enough calories in a day, and that dietitian counseling makes it certain that they understand that of those calories that they take in, a certain proportion of that should be proteins first, perhaps some fats and some carbohydrates as well. And then there's a very significant stress that we place on fluid intake. It's very easy to become dehydrated after these procedures. procedures, and if patients aren't aware of that and constantly practicing their fluid intake, it can be a little bit of a trouble for them.
And then what's the difference with the gastric sleeve?
Well, the gastric sleeve is a purely restrictive operation. With it, we only reduce the amount of fluid that, the amount of fluid or food that the patient can take in at any one time. The sleeve, with that operation, we create essentially a long, narrow tube of stomach. That long, narrow tube is what provides that rather substantial restriction and limits the amount that they can get in at any one time.
Can either of these be reversed?
Well, the sleeve gastrectomy cannot be reversed. We actually remove a fair portion of the stomach, somewhere around 3/4 or 80% of the stomach is actually physically taken out of the patient and cannot be replaced. Reversing the gastric bypass is technically possible, but there has to be a very, very good reason for anyone to even consider it. And if it's considered and subsequently performed, some of the risks that the patient accepted at the initial procedure may even be more so with the reversal of the procedure. And the patient may well then regain their weight and their medical troubles that they had.
What is life like afterwards, after having, whether they've had the sleeve or the bypass, as far as nutrition, going to restaurants, supplementation, and exercise? Tell us about some of those things.
Sure. The life after the surgery, my patients tell me it's a little bit to get used to in the early going. They do have to understand that they can only take a certain amount in at a time, and there will be times not only early on but throughout the rest of their life where perhaps they eat a bit too fast, maybe they haven't chewed their food as well as they thought they did, or maybe they're at a meal with their family and they're not consciously aware of what they're doing, where they may actually have some trouble with some food feeling like it's stuck, or perhaps even needing to excuse themselves to run to the bathroom. This is something that they learn to accommodate with over time, and after perhaps months or certainly after years, they can go out to dinner with the family. They can go to social events. They can live their lives like they otherwise would be able to. They just have to pay a bit more attention to the pace of eating and perhaps the types of food they're eating and the quantities, certainly. With regard to lifestyle choices afterwards, they can and certainly should be physically active. As far as the nutritional supplements that these patients should be on, all patients should be on a standard multivitamin. Many of our patients should also be on calcium supplementation. That's particularly important if the patient's an early middle-aged woman, for example, for bone health. And is also any time where there is an identified nutritional deficiency, which is a bit more common in the gastric bypass, but certainly possible in the other procedures, those patients should be then supplemented for that identified nutritional deficiency. So our program, we monitor nutritional labs, vitamin levels, calcium levels, copper levels, zinc levels, some micronutrients that we know that they can become deficient in on at least a yearly basis. And then any time that we evaluate the patient and consider that they might have a nutritional deficiency, we're going to look for that, and if it's present, then it should be supplemented.
What about medications for things such as high blood pressure and diabetes? Have you seen, Dr. Shope, that sometimes these things maybe not go away, but at least get a little bit better as far as comorbidities with obesity are concerned?
Well, that's certainly the goal of the surgery. I always tell my patients that I care what the scale says, but I care so much more what's happening with their overall health. These operations should not be done just for weight loss purposes. The patients have, in many cases, resolved or improved some of those medical troubles you discussed earlier, diabetes, high blood pressure, sleep apnea, for example. Some of those medical troubles can go away rather quickly. For example, I've seen with as little as 20 to 30 pounds of weight loss, patients that have sleep apnea will tell me that they find that they're lowering the settings on their machine or actually waking up fighting the machine, and some of them will even admit that they have forgotten to use the machine and not had a headache the next morning. They slept well. Their partner didn't tell them that they snored that night, for example. Equally important with diabetes, for example, and particularly with a gastric bypass operation, patients that are diabetic that have had a gastric bypass can see their diabetes improve in some cases before they leave the hospital, which is only a few days after surgery. And then in the following weeks and months, those medications are being lessened. Their blood sugars are being much more well-maintained, and they are essentially resolving or improving substantially their diabetes. Blood pressure is a little bit different. Blood pressure can be simply because your parents had high blood pressure, your age, your gender, your race. So it's not just about the weight, but certainly we have seen blood pressure improve substantially simply with weight loss. The truth is there's some downright skinny people that have high blood pressure, so we may not be able to completely resolve that for all patients, but it should be much better managed. And in some cases, the patients will come off one or maybe more of their medications as well.
So wrap it up for us, Dr. Shope, with your best advice for people that are considering bariatric surgery, what you would like them to know about this tool to aid in lifelong weight loss.
I think that these operations should be thought of as a tool and nothing else. There's no operation that's going to make them achieve their goals in life. The operation can be used to help them get to those goals, but in and of itself, it's not going to make them do anything. If they combine the tool that they've provided with their new lifestyle of healthy eating, more appropriate choices, exercise, they ought to see a rapid improvement in their medical troubles, certainly weight loss, and just a better life in general. I would also suggest that they should only consider this if they've truly exhausted other means. This is not the first thing that they should think of, and they should be fully committed to it before they even come through the door.
Tell us about your team at MedStar Washington Hospital Center.
Could not ask for a better team. Our front office staff is wonderful with the patients. Many times they get to know them, their personal lives, more than I do. We have a nurse. We have a nurse practitioner that are dedicated to bariatric surgery. We've got two full-time dietitians. We've got four surgeons now. We've got a GI doctor that's part of our team. We have a psychologist and a psychiatrist that will see patients in our offices. We have a fully comprehensive surgical weight loss program here. And again, the people are really what drives it. The surgeons always get the accolades, but the reality is if I didn't have the rest of this team in place, there's no chance I could do what I do.
Thank you so much, Doctor, for such great information. This is Medical Intel with MedStar Washington Hospital Center. For more information, you can go to MedStarWashington.org. That's MedStarWashington.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.